Yes, welcome back, Joan.
To all of us, actually, as
us,
people start to dribble back into town after vacation.
An intense summer for you. I understand you've been to Madrid.
I was in Madrid for 9 wonderful, active, fulfilling, inspiring days. The young people are just magnificent. In fact, I'm going to be giving a series of speeches in America, and one of them, this is in October, and one of them I totally changed the theme of my speech, and it's a good thing because, of course, they were about to publish the title of my speech. I was so overwhelmed by what I saw and heard in Madrid that I'm going to talk about the Benedict generation, joyful and firm in the faith. And, you know, these just totally amazing kids. I've written about it extensively and have talked on radio shows. But it's still, if you were in Madrid, it's going to be with you for a long, long time. It's something that remains in our hearts. But the we know that Pope Benedict has been on vacation since, I think it's July 7th or so. And all of July was very quiet, downtime for him, no weekly audiences. The Angelus on Sundays, absolutely, at Castel Gandolfo. And he's been having the audiences now in August and in September, but again out at Casta Gandolfo. And interestingly enough, the one this week was in the Piazza della Libertà, Liberty Square, in front of the Apostolic Palace in Casta Gandolfo. And I'm guessing the only reason being that later Wednesday night, there was a concert in the courtyard where his audiences normally are. There was a concert in the courtyard offered by Cardinal Domenico Bartolucci, who headed for many, many years
the Sistine Choir.
He
was playing his own composition,
yes,
if I'm not mistaken.
Exactly. So I think they were setting up the courtyard, perhaps even rehearsing, right. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And so the Pope had his audience. That must have been a nice change for him, too, though, to be out in the square of this town, that because he's always kind of ushered into the palace when he goes and ushered out if he's, you know, taking a trip.
Town.
Oh, it is. It really, really is. You have to go to Casta Gandolfo sometime and in the nice weather and sit out at someplace overlooking Lake Albano and have a little bit of porchetta some bread and some white wine, and it doesn't get any better. But hopefully the Pope does certainly enjoy those views. And he's had two things on his agenda this week. One actually began last week. It was a four-day meeting with former students of his. There's about 40 of them who, when he was a professor in Germany, these were students whom he guided on their doctoral theses. And he said that they wanted to discuss the new evangelization. So that must have been very interesting input. You had Father Joseph Fessio of the U.S. was there. There were men and women. There was Cardinal Schönbrunn Christoph Schönbrunn of Vienna. So a very fascinating group. It would be interesting to find out what they did, what kind of conclusions they came to about the new evangelization. And then the Pope celebrated Mass with them on Sunday. And there was a very, very brief homily. Basically, Cardinal Schönbrunn gave a homily, but the Holy Father said a few words too. And it's very interesting. He had been doing this for many years, meeting with former students as Cardinal Ratzinger. And there was no reason why, as Pope, in the quiet and tranquility of Casta Gandolfo, he couldn't have his students, you know, come out there. So I'm sure those were very good days. So this week we had two big events. We had the Pope's Mass on Sunday with the students and, of course, the Angelus and the Wednesday audience, which he went back to his catechesis this week on prayer. And he talked about how art can, the various artistic expressions, it can be music or poetry or painting or sculpture, how these can bring us great emotions, but something even bigger than emotions, how they can lead us to look heavenwards and bring us a spiritual aspect and actually make us think of God and his creation. So briefer than normal audiences, but he did greet the people in 11 languages. Oh, yeah, Romanian, Slovakian, Hungarian, Bulgarian, and then the usual, you know, Portuguese, Spanish, English, French, German, and forgive me if I've forgotten someone.
Okay.
You know, one of the things we probably should highlight a little bit, I mentioned that the Pope met with his former students on the subject of the new evangelization. We heard a little bit of that in Madrid. We're going to hear a lot more probably in the coming 14 or so months, simply because the new evangelization is very much part of the Holy Father's heart and his routine right now. It is also going to be the object of the 2012 Synod of Bishops. And we know that a little over a year ago, the Holy Father created the Pontifical Council for the new evangelization. So we have to – it's evangelizing people, of course, who have not ever been evangelized or heard the word, heard the gospel, the good word, the good news. But it is also evangelizing those who were once maybe faithful church-going Catholics and are no longer. People who feel faith is really not so important in the scheme of things in life today. There's other things that have taken its place, and I think that the Holy Father wants to emphasize that there is nothing more important than what faith brings us. And something he says so many times is the fact that, you know, believing in God, having religion, believing in Christ, following Christ, does not take anything away from you or your life. It only adds to it. It doesn't mean that by having Christ in your life, you can't be involved in sports and be a good sports person. You can't have a good job. You can't travel. You can't. No, it doesn't mean that at all. It's just something new and new in the sense of 2,000 years old and wonderful in your life that adds to your life. And actually, a little bit of this the Holy Father referred to when he did say Mass with his former students on Sunday. And his homily, of course, you know, was in German. And he spoke of the first reading, last Sunday's first reading from the prophet Jeremiah in Psalm 62, where he, the prophet, says, "My soul thirsts for you, O living God, as an arid desert land, it awaits you, O living God." And the Pope said, in this time of the absence of God, meaning at the time of Jeremiah, but also today, when the people did not yet know where the living waters would come from, we ask the Lord to show himself. We want to ask him to show to those who seek the living waters elsewhere, and that's what we were talking about a minute ago, that he is the water, that he does not allow man's life or his thirst for what is good and great, for fulfillment, to drown and suffocate in transitory things. And then the Pope added, we want to ask him above all for young people, that the thirst for him will live in them and they will recognize where the answer comes from. And perhaps most tellingly, at the very end of this very brief homily in German, the Pope said, we who have been able to know him since our youth can ask for pardon, should ask for pardon, because we bring so little light from his face to them. And so I don't really know. I mean, is he speaking as a priest here, or is it all of us who have gotten to know Christ, the light that he brings, the salt, the light into the world? Is it also our fault if we have not brought that light into other people's lives? So the Pope says we have to ask God to pardon us if we have not done our job. We have to ask him to pardon us and to renew us with the living waters of his Spirit and allow us to celebrate his sacred mysteries worthily. So not only a priest celebrates sacred mysteries, they're the primary celebrant, of course, but it's part of all of our lives, isn't it, to Absolutely. Bring that life into the lives of others.
Absolutely. And just on a very final note, I presume he's really getting ready for his apostolic
Forgot to mention that, yes.
To Germany later this month.
He goes to Germany on September 22nd, will be there for 4 days, this time not to his native Bavaria, but to Berlin, to Erfurt.
It's a state visit.
And I believe it is. And so very important words awaited there. And, of course, this is 50 years. 2011 is 50 years since the building of the Berlin Wall, which, of course, in 89 came down, but nonetheless ruined many, many lives and divided.
And in fact, he will be going to Auschwitz, which was on the eastern side.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm. So we know exactly that he's going to talk about that. He's going to talk right. about the unity of peoples.
And about new evangelization, I'm sure.
Oh, yes. And then you had an Eastern Europe, which was deprived of the faith for so long. It was kind of an underground way of living the faith, if you could live it at all. And that has changed. There's obviously that freedom now that there was not when the wall was up. But you're going to have to really go in and evangelize people that didn't know it for, you know, 40-some years. So that will be a huge task that he will talk about, but then entrust to the bishops of Germany, you know.
Okay. Thank you very much, Joan.
Well, God bless you. See you next week.
Okay.